And it is Friday. And believe it or not, this is the end of week three. That's unbelievable. You talk about time flying, and it is flying. So this is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, walking in here with moments to spare. In fact, no moments to spare. I'm just here. And I believe Stephanie will be here any moment, but I'm sure she was counting on the fact that I would be here, and I am, so not a problem. Oh, well, I knew it. 100% guaranteed, I was positive that that speech last night would be incredibly good. In fact, it was so good that all I've heard all day long is Republicans crying about it. Now, of course, they have a different way of crying than most people, maybe, but it sort of amounts to this. Oh, Joe Biden is such a mean man. Isn't it terrible? Why is he so mean? Why is he not nice to us? Why is he hurting our feelings? Why does he come to the Congress and say such difficult things to us? Hi, Stephanie. No sound, but that's all right. Do you hear me? Okay. Well, we got to push a button somewhere.
Can you hear me now?
There we go. Fine. You know, I'll tell you, I think that what you were doing is trying to give me an example of what Republicans wish would happen to Joe Biden. Because as I was saying before you showed up here, all day long, all I've done is talk to Republicans who are crying. They didn't want to hear what they heard last night.
They didn't.
No, they didn't want to hear a president who had guts and intelligence and energy and youth. No, they didn't want to hear that. They were hoping that the old man would fall over on his way up to the dais. I mean, that's what they were hoping for.
That's what they were hoping for, but that's not what they got last night.
No, it was not what they got.
He was on it. He was on it last night.
He absolutely was. Now, if they were looking for somebody that came across in a way that was pathetic, they would have had to wait about an hour and a half, and then they could listen to poor Senator. Let's see, what's Kate's last name? Britt. Kate Britt from Alabama. Because she looked like maybe she was going to fall apart. In fact, she seemed to be on the verge of crying at any moment. And then all of a sudden that crying switched into excited laughter. And then back to crying. So I guess she was sort of having
called psychosis.
Yeah, some kind of a bipolar kind of thing. But no, look, hey, you know, no problem. We're not against bipolars, right?
No, we're not.
No,
we're not.
No way.
We support mental health now. Support mental health.
Absolutely. And we could probably get her some. Maybe I can find a sponsor who would sponsor her. So we're going to look forward to not hearing from her ever again.
Right.
Probably. I think her career is probably sunk. I mean, anybody raises their hand and says, what about having Kate Britt involved? I mean, they won't even get past the end of the sentence. And somebody will say, did you forget that disaster? No.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's wait until her next lifetime. But not this one.
Nope. Anyway. I'm glad that he kept it right on, you know, Biden stayed right on the facts. This is where we are. This is where we were. This is where we're going. He didn't attack anybody. He did exactly what he needed to do. It was lovely.
But they take it as an attack. They're saying that they were attacked.
And how?
Well, and here the first thing is, it's sort of funny that they think they're attacked, because this old man, who was so doddering, according to them, that he wouldn't even be able to make it up to the dais before they had to call an ambulance. I mean, that's what they were proposing as, you know, the result for last night's speech. And then after what they got, and all they're doing is crying. I mean, we know that Donald is laying under his desk in the fetal position. That's his normal end of the day routine. But exactly. I think the rest of these people are joining him, because they're so upset, Steph. They really are. They just can't believe that this happened. And what they're going to is, for example, they found a sentence where he sort of slurred through the sentence, sort of slurred some words a little bit. And so they're replaying that over and over and over again, as if they caught him. He did it. They knew he would do it. You know.
I mean, we all slur some sentences.
Here and there.
I was leaving a voicemail earlier today, and I got stuck on my words. I was like, wait a minute, what was I getting ready to say?
Sure.
It happens. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I am on my last leg.
I mean, well, you know, that's another point too when you talk about legs, because I know that Joe walks a little difficult, and you know, I actually know.
Well, so does Trump. Trump with that one flop leg.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get. I've got a chiropractor, but I'm not sending him over to Trump. But I will send him over to Joe Biden. That's Eric Napudi here in St. Louis, and everybody goes to Eric. No, I mean everybody. Jamie Allman goes to Eric. Vic Faust goes to Eric. I go to Eric. I mean, Eric keeps everybody walking. He's really good. And right. I'm just saying, he might be good for Joe Biden. Eric does radio also. And so the thing, and in fact, Eric's in Saudi Arabia right now, or else he would have already been on with us. And we even thought about doing it to Saudi Arabia, but the time difference was a little crazy. But
right.
But the bottom line is that Joe Biden certainly has some issues walking. But I will remind people that Franklin Delano Roosevelt couldn't even stand up. Forget walking. I mean, Roosevelt took us through the Great Depression and World War II, and he couldn't stand up.
Right.
Now, he stood up with some braces. They held him up. They made it look like he was standing up. No, but you know, is that what you – obviously, it's not what you need. You know, to be the president of the United States, you do not need to be able to walk well. And the man doesn't walk well. He looks like he's hurting. Now, I know he rides a bike, so that's a good thing for him.
Yeah, I mean,
this guy will probably live to be 100.
He joked about him being 81 and that he didn't look his age.
Right. He doesn't look his age. He looks 90. But but look, is that what we base this on?
Well, then what? I mean, when we go through and look like that, then what does Trump look like? If he's, I mean, come on now.
But
he got the little hair thing that looked like a bird nest.
If
he got wrinkles, he got one good leg.
Yeah.
And he got dementia. But we want to put him in office and not keep Biden. Come on.
Yeah. Uh-uh. See, the thing is, all the descriptions you gave were true. But to me, those descriptions are not necessary, because all you have to do is go to the details of what he has done in his life,
That's true.
Because those things are horrible. He can't help the fact that his hair looks insane. Now, I admit, he could shave his head. You know, but look, I could shave my head, and I refuse to do that. You know, I mean, there's not much left to shave, but I'm just saying that, you know, my brothers always say, well, get rid of the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I'd have known you for so long that it wouldn't make a difference if you did or didn't in my world.
I wouldn't think so.
Because you're still my Mark.
Yeah. This is, you know. And the truth is that I have my beard is so much better than my brother's. Now, see, they've shaved their heads. So they want me to do the same as them. See, that really, they just don't like how they look, and they want me to look like that. And I just am not doing it. Not doing it.
You holding on to the end, babe. That's all. You just holding on to the end. I get it.
All the way. But but you know, so I've worked real hard at making sure that this is better than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all. Anyway, look, I feel sorry that Donald has some of these problems. He doesn't always look so hot. He's got issues. He's got some issues with the way he speaks. Even that wouldn't bother me at all if he weren't a maniacal sociopath.
That's
a problem.
That's true.
Yeah, that part's a
that's
problem.
True.
Yeah, you know, and the fact that, for example, today he is meeting with Viktor Orban at Mar-a-Lago. Now, Viktor Orban is the head of Hungary. He puts people in jail who are part of the news media in Hungary. He jails them. I don't know if he's killed anybody yet. You know, he's a Vladimir Putin guy. And mm-hmm. and so he's over with Donald because the two of them are Vladimir Putin guys. So I understand they're sort of having a company meeting. You know, the Russians. Yeah, they're all meeting together. Just the dictators of small countries like the United States, but not the important people like Russia and China. So, you know, that I understand what Donald's doing. We actually don't want that alternative. That's something that we're sort of fighting against. And I have to tell you, Stephanie, I am so sure after what I saw last night that Joe Biden will win easily this upcoming election. In fact, I'm just so unhappy that it's only March because we've got 8 months.
Mm-hmm. We got a ways to go.
And I hate waiting 8 months because I know where the numbers are. I know, like, for example, you look at the polls, they say something like 48-43 Trump or 47-45 Biden. So it's somewhere in the middle, like maybe 45 apiece.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. They're not accounting for the final 10%. And I promise you, Stephanie, 8 months from now, when we're tearing apart these numbers, we are going to find that last 10% is going to go straight to Biden, straight to him. So if it's 45 apiece, then that means it's going to be 55-45. Now, people have said as much in the exit polling that they've seen recently that all the uncommitted people are basically Biden people. But
right.
They're just unhappy about the fact that Biden's old. But Biden is not.
I don't get that. I mean, if you're in your right mind and you can continue to run the country as well as he has been running it, who cares on the age?
Well, I showed my kids at school today pictures. Actually, video of John Kennedy in 1962 giving the speech that he gave about the Cuban Missile Crisis. And And then we watched Joe Biden. And, you know, it's impossible to miss the fact that if you've got 40 years difference, the young guy's going to look young and the old guy's going to look old.
True.
I mean, there's no way around it. You know, you're just not going to look the same at 81 as you do at 41. You're just not going to. Now, I asked the kids, what do you think? Because they don't really know the whole story about people not liking Biden because of his age. And I asked them, how does he seem? Does he seem like he could be president? They all say, sure. Yeah, they're fine with it. You know, they know he's old. So that's all. No big deal. Now, I know that there were people today, certainly like, for example, on Facebook, saying that Joe Biden is so angry. Well, you know, I'd be angry too. If somebody tried to steal the election, smash through the Capitol, beat up policemen, threatened to kill the vice president of the United States, and call the secretary of state in Georgia and try to get the votes changed. I think I'd be angry.
Right.
Don't you think that's enough?
Yeah. I just saw a flash come over saying Charles Barkley.
Yes, he did. Go ahead.
You saw that?
Oh, I know. Go ahead. Tell him. Yeah.
It is turn Biden apart because he's saying that why is he always just caring about, and the Democrats, because they only care about blacks every 4 years.
Yeah.
And
I'll say this. When it comes to some Democrats, that's true. Some. Now, Joe Biden has shown through this entire presidency the opposite. He has absolutely thanked black people every day of his presidency for getting him across the line. He knows they did. He appreciates it. And he has done everything possible. He is pushing two voting rights acts, including the John Lewis bill, to try to strengthen the opportunity for black people to vote. He's been pushing for those for 2 years now, or a year and a half anyway, and the Republicans have been blocking it. So, you know, he's doing everything he can. And his relationship with Jim Clyburn, I mean, that's no joke. I mean, they are close. And he, that is Biden, loves the fact, and should, that Clyburn made him president. He doesn't deny it.
No.
Yeah, he's not playing the Donald Trump game. No, he loves that. And he does truly love the fact that black people pushed him over the line. They just did. He knows the numbers. Right. Without black people, Joe Biden would not be president. It's that simple. That's why he's president. So
yeah,
that's
right.
It. Now, in the upcoming election, I'm going to say the same thing that I said in the 2020 election, which was the same thing I said in the 2016 election. Donald Trump will get, I must need immediate mental assistance. I said the wrong name. Donald will get about 8%, maybe 10 black voters, 8 to 10%. Now, he should get 5%, but there are some people out there who will support him, and I don't know why. I have no guess. Maybe Donald promised them something, but they better be careful, because Donald has never followed through on a promise. He lies. He steals. He defrauds companies. He makes up companies that aren't even real, like his so-called university? I mean, really? Trump University? Right. Are you kidding? I mean, he had to pay $25 million because it was fraud. But even without the $25 million, we all could have said, this is fraud. It's Trump. What are you talking about? There's nothing honest about this guy.
I think the bottom line is that you have a lot of people who don't want to vote for Trump and who don't want to vote for Biden because they're just unsure on both sides on who will be the better president. So they just like, I don't want to vote. We have to get people out there to vote. Regardless on who you want to vote for, we need to rally and make sure that people are going to vote.
Yeah.
Period.
But I don't think that they believe that Donald might be a better president. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem.
I'm not thinking that's the problem either. I'm saying that, you know, if it came down to Trump and Biden, it's like, okay, well, we don't want to vote for Trump because of all of this. Then you have people say, well, we don't want to vote for Biden because he's old and he's going to die.
Yeah.
But you know, so it's like, well, why go and vote?
No. But I think that's not the conclusion. I think what they're going to conclude, and we're going to see 8 months. I think what they're going to conclude is I'm not voting for Donald. And they keep thinking maybe there's somebody else besides Biden. But there isn't. It's Biden. That's who they're going to have to vote for. Now, if they're right, and if Biden dies at 83 or 84, I mean, I don't hope that for anybody, but if he does, then Kamala Harris would be the president. And I think she'd be a fine president.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand this is America, and people will say, oh, no, not another black one. Really, you know that's the deal here. All you have to do is look at like Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, who used black people to win by scaring people in Virginia. And that's been done everywhere. It was that was the old Willie Horton thing that George H.W. Bush used to beat Dukakis with that crazy Willie Horton ad. And you know, that's what they do. They constantly rev up the fear that, you know, you might end up with a black person living next to you or at your school, or you might have to study black history. I mean, who knows? But they're worried. They're crying. They're crying tonight. That's the message.
Yeah, but that lets them know that the prejudice is still living, alive, and breathing. It's just steadily breathing. It's not going anywhere. Like we talked about it a few days ago, it's a little better, but it's still breathing. It's still breathing.
I don't think there's any doubt about it, and I don't know how it would ever go away, Stephanie. I mean,
I
again, you know, like I always bring up the fact that I'm Jewish, and I say they're just people who hate Jews. They just do. I mean, you know, if you get to the point in America where you know they hate you, but they just can't bother you anymore, that's probably the best alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because honestly, they're going to hate. They can't help themselves.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back, as we all know, to 1619, and these people just can't help it. And there are people who say that they don't, but you know what? They sort of do. It's there. It's somewhere there. You know, they don't hate a black person, but they don't want one next door, or they don't hate a black person, but, you know, don't date my kid or something, you know, something.
You're right. It's something.
Yeah.
That's, or, you know, my favorite is I'm not prejudiced. I have a whole bunch of black friends.
Well, sure. Oh, that's the.
That right there says it all.
That's the.
That says it all. When somebody says it, I'm like, oh, get away from me, please.
Yeah. Oh, that's the favorite Jewish thing.
Oh, get away from me.
I have a Jewish friend. I knew somebody who was Jewish once. Nothing to worry about.
Mark, I don't think I even knew you was Jewish until like the last 5 years or so, because we never talked about that as long as I've known you.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing to talk about unless.
It's nothing to talk about.
Unless you're talking about the kind of thing we are on mm-hmm. a talk show where, you know, we're thinking about what's wrong with America.
Right. And that makes no difference to me, because I done loved you from day one. I'm going to continue to love you till I die. That's our relationship. You know what I'm saying? No one can ever take that away. We love each other because we're humans. We have feelings, and it comes from the inside out. It's not the outside in, period.
Yeah. And look, I it's so funny because, again, this is something that the right wing hates. They hate this. But that is, you know, there's so many good people out here that you can really enjoy who you don't even agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, often these days, I mean, for decades now, I've been connected with people who completely disagree with me politically, who think I'm crazy. And I'm happy for that. I mean, they can say, Kasin, you're nuts. This morning we did the show, the morning show, the kids at school, and on the chat feed, there were people talking about how I'm delusional and things like that. And I said, you know, actually, I am delusional. Yeah. Hey, there's no problem. And, you know, you could say it, and I'm not upset. But, you know, I guess the problem is so many people in this country, and you can read it today in the hatred for Joe Biden, so many people are just consumed with an unbelievable amount of hatred. And Biden yesterday, in that fabulous speech as described here by Michael, who just joined us a little bit late, but, you know, was talking about, as we all know, that Biden just did a phenomenal job. He was just exceptional.
An awesome job.
And so they hate him for that. They hate him for it. Because all they wanted was for him to just fall over on the dais, smack his head on something. That's all. They would have been satisfied with that. And this man insisted on giving a phenomenal speech all the way to the end with a couple of minor slurs. I mean, it's hard to believe, but I mean, I listened for him.
I mean, he was talking straight for 64 minutes, they said.
Right.
I mean, come on now. Anybody that's going to stand there and just continuously talk without holding a conversation like we're holding the conversation for 64 minutes, eventually is going to get tired. So, I mean, if he slurred a word or two, so what? You try to talk for 64 minutes. I mean, you and I have given, you know, conferences, or we have, you know, done what we have done with teaching. I could see us standing in the classroom, but our classroom hours are no more than what, 30, 40 minutes? The most, some is an hour.
The college classes are 3 hours, but we're not
talking those entire hours.
Well, that's right. It's a give and take, first of all.
Right.
That's right. That's right. But I could talk for 3 hours, and frankly, I have. But it's just enjoyable. I like doing it. The kids at school mm-hmm. laugh all the time and say, no question, that I could talk unlimited, and I could talk on anything, any subject. I don't even have to know what I'm talking about. I can just, you give me a subject, and I can talk about it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just, I don't know if that's a skill or a disease. I'm not sure.
That's a skill.
It might be a disease. But all I'm saying is,
because it's not a disease, because you're keeping people engaged.
Yeah, sort of.
I mean, it's not like people are falling asleep. I can't fall asleep on you. I know. Yeah. But you're keeping people engaged.
Yeah.
So, no, that's a skill.
Yeah, my kids at school do quite well, and I don't sit there and talk to them like that anyway. In fact, I make them talk, and I make them actually get the experience of being involved in conversations in a way that they're going to have to do, certainly at the college level. I mean, they're going to have to. And you know, our school, 90-some percent, I think 98% of our kids go to college, and 82% of our kids graduate from college. So that's, you know, a great record, but it means that they have to be shaped up for college. They got to be prepared. And so, you know, that's what we work for. But I can tell you that the kids this morning who were on the air with Vic, they were good. They enjoyed the conversation. They said that they were nervous at first, of course, but they got with it. They handled it. And eventually they did a really nice job. And I can tell you too that they are very interested in mm-hmm. starting their own podcast, which they can really do with no problem at all with a Facebook on a camera. That's it. And they got a right. podcast. And they, you know, they're going to talk certainly with me, and Vic said he would talk with them, and you know, they just need some guidance. That's all. And, right. and after that, all they need is a camera and sit down in a house in a room. You know, I was doing broadcasting from a car during COVID for a while, you know?
Right.
So, no, it's all doable in 2024, and the kids are going to get, I'm sure, a lot of experience. I didn't ask them to do this. This is something that they're just sort of motivated towards. And by the way, the other thing,
which is a good thing.
That's a great thing. No, it's terrific. And the thing also about these three students, they have been my student advisory committee for the last almost about a year now. About a year. And the funny part about it is, Steph, nobody at my school has a student advisory committee.
But
I do. And it was something that I cooked up with my PhD mentor, you know, Marvin Berkowitz. And mm-hmm. I decided I've got to do this. And I'll tell you, they love it. And I introduced them this morning on the show as my student advisory committee. They have meetings with me, and they tell me what is, you know, good and what's difficult and not working at school, and we go through these things. And I'll tell you this, I offered this idea to other teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty excited about it. And they talked nice about it, but no one's doing it.
And, I believe that.
And you know, I'm sorry that they're not, because they're great teachers. And they do terrific things with the kids. I mean, they do other terrific things with the kids. But these young people get a really great experience by having the teacher listen to their advice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a powerful.
Sometimes that's all students want is a listening ear.
Yeah. I mean, and I respect their advice. I mean, yeah, I really,
it goes really far. Yeah. It could go really far.
Yeah, they know I really do. And I have to say, too, that in all the writing and research that I'm involved in with my, you know, mentor, Marvin, at UMSL,
mm-hmm.
we've talked about the different things that need to be written. And certainly one of them has to do with the power of having kids advising teachers. And I know that there are a lot of teachers, not just at my school, anywhere, that sort of feel like, wait a minute, I'm teaching them. But kids have a lot to say.
They do.
Yeah.
And to get them involved and getting them engaged could turn a whole school around. But, you know.
Well, yeah, I would love to see every teacher with a student advisory committee. I mean, that would just blow the school away. I know it would. But our school is already phenomenal, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people feel like, hey, we're already terrific. So what do we need to do? But I just happen to like the idea, and I'm going to write about it. I'm going to write about it. The kids are taking notes about what we do. I'm taking notes about what we do. We're going to get this out there. We're going to tell the story of having students advise their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know.
Oh, that would be nice.
It's a nice left-wing plot. You know, it's radical enough, but it's also sensible, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
But guess what?
Go ahead. I can't guess.
I'm hungry.
Oh.
Aren't you hungry?
OMG. It's already 4:38. Boy, time flies. Yeah. So, yeah, let me say that there's no question. The food at Wendy's is incredible.
Yes.
And in fact, we talked this morning about actually having a meeting with our kids, with some of the students at Wendy's. And you know, the kids are going to love that food. I mean, they have all the kind of things that the kids are going to, you know, the hamburgers, the patty melts. You know, I like the baby back ribs. They might like, you know, the onion rings and the pizza and so forth. There's lots of great food at Wendy's. And I was so glad, as I told you yesterday, that I met Ben, because it really has reinforced in my mind this idea that restaurants that have the owner hanging around, talking with the customers and meeting with people, getting involved.
Yes.
It makes the restaurant.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
There's no
question. I've been several places where they come around and they say, you know, I'm the manager. How's your food? You know, how's your service? And they ask you, are you good? It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
It makes you feel a certain way.
You might know this. I don't. I think you do. But for 10 years, I ate breakfast every single day at the original Pancake House, which both in Chesterfield and in Clayton.
Yep.
And I every single day, and I can tell you right now that the owner was there every single day. And I haven't been there in 3 years. I know that's bizarre.
Oh, wow.
Well,
was that the last time you and I went?
Yeah, probably. You know, COVID.
Right.
You know, I stopped after COVID. And really, I always used to use the breakfast bar as a place to do, you know, a lot of my work. It was like my office. And I would sit there and drink coffee all day. And I just I decided I didn't want to go back to that bar because you got people on top of each other. And hey, it's just after COVID, I stopped. But at any rate, so there was one example, and that place does, I mean, it's a breakfast place, you know, but boy, do they do breakfast business. And I think it's because of the owner being involved in that way.
Right.
Positive way, you know, engaging with the people. Now, likewise, you know, one of the other restaurants here in town, my very good buddy of mine, and the restaurant does great, and he's there all the time, always hanging out with people involved, just like Ben. And I can tell you, Wendy's, great food, great owner. Just a nice place to get involved, hang out, be around people, and 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, that is Wendy's. Now, Al runs a heck of a jewelry store. Over at 4506 Hampton, and Al's there all the time too. Now, he's not going to feed you the jewels. Don't get me wrong. You're not going to eat them. But I guess women like to wear rings and, you know, all that, you know, necklaces and all kinds of things. So, you know, that's one thing. And
I think I got some jewelry right here.
You see,
is this the kind? This ain't the kind.
His jewelry costs a couple of dollars more than that one.
You sure? I mean, you know.
I'm pretty sure. But I will say.
Don't talk about my jewelry, Mark.
No, right. Well, I can't even see it anyway. And I certainly. it looks a little colorful, but I couldn't tell you the colors because I'm colorblind. But anyway, Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. They buy and sell coins and jewelry.
Yes.
They're very creative. They make great pieces for people to come in and look at their specialized jewelry. It's just a great place. And Al and his son AJ, they're always around too, and they'll help you out anytime. That's Jewels on Hampton. Now, the suit company, same way. St. Louis Suit Company is on the corner of Central and Forsyth, and I can tell you, Jay is the owner, and his son Nick, and the two of them are there all the time. And I guess that's part of how these really good businesses do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their owner's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jay and Nick, and you can check them out and say hello and tell them that you've heard from me and you've seen my colors and how they match because they tell me what to wear.
That's a nice tie, by the way.
Oh, I love this black and white check tie. It's a nice tie. And I guess this is called like houndstooth. Is that something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I even know what that means, but that's all right. and plus I've said that you've got these seersucker suits. They've got a whole bunch of them there. $99 for a suit. I mean, that's unbelievable. And they're nice. They're very nice. Now, don't forget, you can buy this tie for $5. And you don't want to be foolish because you could buy it for $50. Same tie. You could pay $50 to Donald Trump. Not only would he steal your money, but he would choke you with the tie. But, hey, that's just a way of life for Donald. Okay. So St. Louis Suit Company, and that is on the corner of Central and Forsyth. And let me say about the speech last night. You know, when I was on the show this morning, everybody was asking me, well, what did Joe Biden say that was so great? And I told them, I said, look, I'm not going to waste my time with you guys because let's let the kids talk. I'll say it all tonight. So let me start by saying this. In the most brilliant way possible, Biden began that speech with Franklin Roosevelt in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly the story that needed to be told. I mean, I discussed that last week with Eric. You know, Eric Greitens, I said, hey, what about the comparison between Hitler and Putin?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Eric sort of surprised me because I know it's the Republican position. But he said that we were imposing on Vladimir Putin with NATO, and that's partly why that Putin was responding the way he is. And furthermore, he didn't see Putin trying to get into Paris. And I thought those were two horrible arguments.
Exactly.
And we didn't get into too much because we were running out of time. And I didn't want to spend the whole show, you know, fighting over that. But I will, because Eric's coming up to school to talk with the kids. And I will have a thorough conversation with the kids and Eric about this connection between Putin and Hitler and Europe and Czechoslovakia and looking at Ukraine and Poland. I have to tell you, this is exactly what's going on. And Joe Biden described it perfectly last night. Didn't miss a beat. Really told the story. And I loved the way he used Ronald Reagan against Republicans. Talking about, you know, Reagan said, tear down that wall. And Donald Trump said, do whatever the hell you want with them. If that doesn't give you the contrast that tells you where your vote needs to go in this election, I just don't know what does. And I don't know why. But I'll tell you, the people on the Republican side aren't being moved by that. No. Not at all.
No. No, they're still going to be where they are, feeling the way they are, saying what they are.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I really don't. And furthermore, you know, the thing with the Supreme Court, oh, that really antagonized Republicans. Oh, they got furious and, oh, they were so angry. I don't know how they're going to sleep tonight because they're just so angry. They're angry because they think Joe Biden is angry and I don't understand how they could even think that because, you know, I know that
he was just stating the facts.
No. But here's the thing. I think he's angry about democracy being stolen. I think he's he's angry about that. But here's the thing. If you're a Republican and you say that Joe Biden has no mental acuity, the man can't think, the man can't speak, the man is incompetent, he's old and doddering. Now, if he's all those things,
well, then he would be bedridden on hospice.
That's right. So how was he able to give that speech last night with all the anger that they are feeling from him today? So I just don't get the connection because, you know, I would think that the best conclusion they could come to is that maybe it was AI that did the speech last night. It wasn't really Biden, or it was a body double. You know, or something. I mean, because the only other thing that they can come to a conclusion on is that this guy is not dying. Because he's not. And they want him to be dying.
He looks straight up and alert to me.
Yeah,
so.
But they've invested so much in this. Now, I will say this, Stephanie. Here's one thing they didn't talk about. I haven't heard one person yet, and I really give them credit for this, and I'm not even joking. They're not talking about him being a pedophile. Not this week. Because they usually say that he's a mentally deficient pedophile. That's what they think he is. And, you know, that. I mean, I'm not even going to repeat how they came to that conclusion.
I was going to say, how they figure that he's the pedophile?
Okay.
What is Trump?
You asked the question, so I guess I'll tell you.
Okay.
You know, Joe Biden tells the story about how when he was a teenager, he was a lifeguard.
Okay.
And when he was a lifeguard, the black kids used to come up to him and they saw all the hair on his legs and they were sort of amazed by the blonde hair on his legs. That, they have concluded, makes this man a pedophile.
Then what the hell is Trump?
Well, That
if a pair of hairy legs make that man a pedophile, what the hell is Trump?
Well, according to a judge in the state of New York, he's a rapist.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what
my point.
That's what the judge said.
My point.
That's what
ding in the conversation.
Yeah. In the conversation. So let's talk about the Supreme Court. So he made a comment about the Supreme Court, which I loved. And that was, he told the court, look, you all wrote about the power of women if they want to do something after we have gotten rid of Roe v. Wade, let them go out and do it. Mm-hmm. And so Biden said, you're about to get a lesson in the true power, true political power of these women.
Of women.
And mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, that has Republicans hysterically angry today. How could Joe Biden have disrespected the Supreme Court of the United States in this way by talking directly to them during this speech? Oh, they're furious about this. They're just going bonkers. Everything that Joe Biden did last night has them angry.
You know what? It sounds like they just fishing. They have nothing to back up anything.
Well, they don't so have anything.
Right. So they're just fishing.
I mean, Biden.
Try to make something out of nothing. Biden, and what you know what they said is that you make something out of nothing and what you end up with? Nothing.
Well, that's what they've got, because Biden then went on to talk about the infrastructure plan that he put together that was passed by a bipartisan vote, which some Republicans voted against it. But when the new infrastructure comes to their neighborhood, they always show up and tell everybody, look what I brought you. But they voted against it. But they want credit for it. And Biden said, he joked last night, you know, if you don't want it, I can send it somewhere else. If you don't want it. You know, they didn't like that. They didn't like a little humor. They didn't like the anger. They didn't like the humor. So, of course, that's...
You can't appease everybody. You can't make everybody happy.
Well, you can't make anybody happy.
And being the president, that's not your job. Your job is not to walk around and pat everybody on their head and give them, you know, lollipops and you know, smiley faces. I mean, you have a whole country to control, and you can't appease everybody. You can't.
Yeah, but in
so
a way,
they need to get over it.
But in a way, Biden even did that, and they didn't like it, this part of it. When the speech was over, he lollygagged around the Senate or the House of Representatives, and he just hung out with people and talked to everybody. I mean, he didn't want to walk out because this guy loves being around people, being engaged, having conversations. He just likes it, which is why they call him such a great retail politician, because he just likes to hang out with people. Mm-hmm. And again, that's got to send these people insane, because where does he get the energy for this? I mean, the man spoke for over an hour, and he had more pressure on him in that speech than anybody that we know will ever have.
Mm-hmm.
That speech
That's
was
true.
His whole life in front of him. I mean, if he blew that speech, it was over. And if you remember last night, I said to you, he's going to have so much adrenaline that there's nothing that will stop him. He is going to go for 1 hour totally psyched on adrenaline, and that's going to be it. And he's going to nail it, because when you're really motivated that way and your hormones are flying, you become very powerful. And it did work for him. And that's that. There's nothing else to say. He did it. He did it. And, you know, I loved at the beginning, and I've watched it a couple of times now, or even three or four, because of the different groups of kids, because I had them watching. But I loved at the beginning where he, just before he started talking, after he had gone through the whole crowd, shaking hands and doing what he loves to do, and he got up there and he said, you know, this might be a good time to go home. The guy, you know, he was even funny, self-deprecating. Look, everything that the Republicans thought that he couldn't do, he did. Yeah. Every single thing. And in the meantime, poor Donald. Really, I feel sorry for him.
I don't.
Oh, no, I really do.
Why?
Well, because he managed to come up with a $90 million bond so he could appeal the E. Jean Carroll case. But now he's got 16 days
to
come up with $500 million.
Yep, saw that today. Mm-hmm.
$500 million. Now, maybe he'll come up with it. Maybe he will. But you know what? I'd bet against it. I'd take that bet. So So we're going to see. I would guess he won't. And by the way, the day that he has to come up with it, because it's the 24th, so that's 16 days, the next day is the 25th when his trial begins in New York City. So I'm just telling you, I feel so sorry for the man.
So maybe, hopefully, what will happen is that he don't come up with the money on the 24th. He gets sent to jail because he didn't come up with the money. And then on the 25th, his first open statement for the court will be him sitting in an orange jumpsuit from the TV into the courtroom.
Yeah. In this case, actually, he wouldn't go to jail for this one. But what would happen is that they'd sell everything he's got. But look, that's probably worse for him than jail. He doesn't like losing his things. And you don't know at this point whether those things are even unencumbered to the point where he could sell them or you know, use them for collateral if they're...
Well, maybe we'll see him walk out the extended stay wherever he is.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And in fact, maybe we could get him a deal at one of those places and make them an advertiser on our show.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Hey, that, high five on that one, Mark.
That may be the way. Well, Stephanie, it is 5:00.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, we've had a great week. This is the third week. Next week's week 4. Many new things coming. I would not predict that I'm going to have Bill Monroe on Monday, but you never know. I can't wait to tell the story about this because it's so funny. But you know, at any rate, this is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen.
And I'm Stephanie Harmon.
And we'll see you next week.
Showdown. Good night.
Good night.